Hey everyone, this is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I'm really excited to chat with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hey to Ariel. Hey, Ariel, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing, Pam?
I'm good. I'm so excited to have you as a guest today. I'm so glad we connected.
Me too. I have been admiring your podcast for a while now, so I'm super, super excited to be here. I can't wait.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So, well, to get started, could you introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy.
Sure. So I'm Ariel Malman. I am 23, almost 24 years old. I'm from Olney, Maryland. It's a pretty small town. It's close to DC and in Baltimore. It's like right in between the two. And I keep busy by doing a whole bunch of things. I'm someone who always has too much on their plate, but I work full time for a cybersecurity startup called Fornetics, and they do basically cybersecurity solutions. And I am a marketing assistant and also a partner channel coordinator as well. And I also run a blog about lifestyle and stuttering topics, which I'm sure we'll get into later today. So I do those things, and I go to group therapy for stuttering. So I do a lot of things to keep myself pretty busy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It sounds it. So, so what got you interested in IT in the tech field? I really haven't heard too many women in cybersecurity.
Yeah. I'm still like relatively new to it. It's something I never thought I would be working in. But I had graduated from college, and I was just networking, trying to find a job and to kind of, you know, get started on my career path. And at my retail job, which I have a part-time job in retail as well on the side. I know. I'm kind of crazy. But I had one of my customers was the new owner of this company, and he and I were talking about job opportunities, and I was like, you know, this guy seems like pretty important in what he does, so I'm gonna, you know, introduce myself. And we networked, and I interviewed with them, and I was a marketing intern, and marketing is always something I've enjoyed. I did not know how it would be different for cybersecurity, because I knew absolutely nothing about cybersecurity. There's a whole lot that I still have to learn, but that's how I got started in IT. Well, I guess you would probably call it cybersecurity. So I've been working there since December, and it's been pretty good so far. It's more interesting than I was expecting it to be for me, because like I said, I have had no background in IT engineering or computer stuff, so this is all still pretty new to me, but yeah, it's exciting.
Wow. So what did you major in school?
I was an economics major, and I graduated from University of Maryland in 2017.
Okay. Oh, wow. So, So what did you, I mean, what did you want to do like when you were little, when you, you know, when you thought about what I'll be when I grow up, was it this?
Oh no. I went through periods where I was like, I want to be a dance instructor, even though I have never taken dance at all before. I was like, I want to be an actress. I want to sing. I was all over the place. But even as I got older and I still didn't know exactly what kind of a job I wanted, I knew I always wanted to be in a role where I interacted with people, which is pretty ironic because I stutter, but I just love talking to people. So I always knew I would end up in some sort of role that involved a lot of communications, which I have, which I'm in right now. So
yeah,
it's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. So in your role in cybersecurity, do you go in, are you in an office or do you work from home or how does that work?
It's a combination. So I go in about 3 times a week and then I work from my home 2x a week. But I've also been going to events, which, as we know, as we are people who stutter, sometimes they can be terrifying. But so I'll go into the office about 3 days a week. And then on the days that I'm working remote, I'll go to an event or just work remote. So again, I'm all over the place.
Yeah. So how does stuttering, you know, interface with all this? I mean, you're networking with people, you're communicating with people, obviously, you know, how do you manage your stuttering when you are meeting people, you know, for the first time, maybe?
Well, I definitely meet a lot of people in person at these events and on conference calls. So it's stressful, but at the same time, I've become so much more comfortable with identifying as a person who stutters, where it gets to the point that if I am talking to someone and I stutter, I just kind of blow by it and I don't really care. But that's to an extent now. I still try to control my stutter. It's interesting that you said manage your stutter, because one of my colleagues looked at my LinkedIn profile and I advertise on that I'm a person who stutters, and he was like, I had no clue that you stutter, you manage it well. And I was like, so does that mean if you can hide your stutter that you're like, quote, good at stuttering? It was just this whole like topic that I had never really thought of before. So I guess to actually answer the question you asked me, I show some open stuttering, but I also do it in a controlled way. So I don't show too much. I don't let myself stutter and have blocks that last too long. And I definitely will use some tricks to try and not show my stutter, which I'm not, you know, proud to say that I use tricks, but I have to be honest, I do sometimes. And I think we all have those situations where even though you want to be so open about your stutter, you hold back a little bit. But for the most part, I show some of my stuttering and I have advertised to my colleagues that I've gotten to know, and it's actually been a really great experience, and I've been educating them about stuttering. So I would say I quote manage it, according to that guy, just okay.
yeah so yeah, that is interesting, right? Because there's different ways that you can look at, you know how we live with stuttering. You know, some people who stutter, you know, go to great lengths to control their stuttering and not let any open stuttering show up ever at all. So they, you know, work extremely hard to be fluent as possible all the time. And, you know, when you manage your stuttering, I think for me, at least anyway, it means that I have some control over it. You know, mm-hmm. I choose when and how much and to whom I might let that part of me out to someone. So it almost kind of sounds like you do something similar. And I was going to ask, but then you kind of answered it. So it sounds like as you get to know people and get more comfortable with them, you kind of like, seem a little bit more okay with showing stuttering a little more with those that you get to know.
Yeah. So the way I sometimes like to think about it is it's like a tier platform or like level up. Like if you get to know me and I like you and we get along great, it's like, you've reached level two. Level three is when then I'll like advertise to you that I stutter. And then depending on your response, then you get to move up to the next level. And then I'll actually like show my stuttering.
Okay.
So yeah, it just depends on like how well I get to know a person, what their reaction is when I either show stuttering or tell them that I stutter, but I am very much like in control of it. I choose like who I stutter to, how much I show, how long it lasts and all that stuff. So I definitely do that. Yeah.
Have you always been able to do that?
Yes. I mean, before I started avoidance reduction therapy, my version of hiding my stutter still consisted of using tons of tricks to do it. But it was like I used so many tricks that I didn't even actually like know what I was saying, and I was not paying attention to the content. I was just trying not to stutter. And now I can still be mindful of the content that I'm saying and like speak to my audience, but I can still be selective about the kind of stuttering that I show. And I think it's a combination of learning new tricks, which again, I'm not really proud to say I have, but a lot of us do. And then also a combination of being more comfortable with my stutter. Yeah.
So you mentioned that you're presently involved in therapy that you refer to as avoidance reduction. Mm-hmm. So for listeners that may not know what that is, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So the gist of avoidance reduction therapy is reducing the struggle that comes with stuttering. That plays into the physical struggle, like the tension, the eye blinks, whatever, you know, patterns you have. And then also the cognitive struggle about feeling shame and embarrassment and frustration and all of that. So what we do in this therapy is we basically try to desensitize ourselves to the cognitive struggle by asserting ourselves into situations where we can expect to feel shame and embarrassment and all that stuff. So it's kind of like, if you're scared of getting a shot at the doctor's office and you go and you have one shot, you're like, oh my gosh, that was so bad. I never want to do it again. But then you have to get more shots done. And then it's not quite as bad the next time you go. And then it gets easier and easier until you aren't scared at all of getting a shot. It's kind of like that in both the cognitive space and the physical one. So the more you are comfortable in the more you allow yourself to show your stutter and the eye blinks, the head nods, whatever it is, the more used to it you become, and then you're not resisting it as much. And as a result, those behaviors are eliminated. I'm not sure I explained that super well, but hopefully that was enough context there so our listeners will at least understand it a little bit.
Yeah. So can you give me an example? Like, what was something that like was difficult for you or that you feared that you kind of like walked right into? I mean, because that's what it sounds like you're doing in this type of therapy, right? Like walking right into what you fear?
I wouldn't say walking right into it because that would probably scare off most of us.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
But I would say the whole like onboarding process is getting to understand your stuttering pattern and being more cognizant of what feelings you have when you do stutter, what your physical pattern is. And then once you know what you want to improve on, what you're scared of, what is manageable to you, then you kind of slowly walk into those situations that are scary one little bit at a time, and then you can, you know, move up and you can do something that's a little bit more scary and so on.
Wow. Yeah. So how did you find this? How did you get involved in this type of therapy, because it's a little bit different from what's out there.
It's definitely different, and that's why I love it so much. I have been to like fluency shaping therapies in the past, and they obviously did not work. So I started off at Montgomery College, a local community college in Maryland. And then when I transferred to the University of Maryland, my mom was looking for speech therapists for me. A lot of the ones close to me were only for kids, and they like wouldn't take anyone over the age of 18, or they didn't know how to treat adults who stuttered. And I was kind of like, well, that sucks for me. But my mom had found the speech clinic at University of Maryland and reached out to the contact there, Vivian Siskin, who I love so much now. And then
she is amazing.
Oh, I love her. And then she introduced me to the group therapy, and I was pretty like skeptical about it because I had never been in group therapy before, but I was also excited about it because I was like, wait, there's other people out there my age who stutter. Like, it's not just me. So it was cool. It was definitely different, but I am so glad I did it. And it's honestly my favorite part of the week is going to group every Wednesday. So I'm super excited. I love it.
So did you just always do the group part, or did you do individual avoidance reduction therapy?
Both. So I started off just in the group, and then I had this tricky, pesty problem of using inhalations all the time as a trick. So if I thought I was going to stutter, I would just take a quick breath in to get through it. And the result was I was like holding my breath and I was like exhausted all the time. So Vivian suggested I work with one of her colleagues via telepractice because he lives up in Boston, and we worked together on reducing my inhalations and just being more comfortable with open stuttering in all places. So I work with him once a week, and then I also attend my group as well.
Wow. Wow. So is that person in Boston, is that Edmund by any chance?
No, it's Nick Brow.
Oh, okay. I think I met Nick as well at the Boston One Day NSA conference.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you told me that he went there. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Wow, small world.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's great. That's great. So, how long have you been involved with the arts program?
I've been doing it since it was the semester I transferred to Maryland. So the spring semester of my junior, no, it was the fall semester of my junior year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a couple years then.
Yeah. A couple years.
Wow. Wow. And did you do any therapy, you know, when you were younger as a kid?
Oh yeah. like I said, I had been in fluency, shaping, and probably one other kind, but I don't remember the name of it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like them because they made me feel like if I stuttered, I was not making progress and I was not succeeding. And because I feel like fluency shaping never works, you're just head up to, quote, fail by the standards of that therapy, and then you just don't feel very good. One of the therapists I work with, or used to work with, thought that she needed to, like, massage my neck so I would not be tense. I was in, like, middle school, so I was like, okay, this is kind of odd, but like, whatever it takes, I guess, to make me not stutter. And then once a week, we would talk and go through some exercises, and then she would just like massage my neck and just like, and get me to relax, and it relaxed me, but then I still stuttered. So that was just a totally weird experience, not helpful at all. And then I came to avoidance reduction therapy and I was like, this is what I needed right now. So,
yeah. Wow. Wow. It sounds like that's what's helped you like get to the place where you're at, where you're successfully living with and managing stuttering. And that's kind
exactly
of what it's all about, right?
Yeah. I mean, it has, like, it's been crazy how quickly, like, I have fallen in love with this kind of speech therapy. I went from, like, never wanting to talk about my stutter, never wanting to, like, call myself a person who stuttered, to creating an online blog where I talk about my stuttering all the time. So it's just, like, such a great program that sets you up to be successful, and it really gives you a lot of self-confidence. And that's why I'm like such a big supporter and advocate for this kind of speech therapy, because it truly makes you feel like you can do anything, even though you stutter. And like the motto of the NSA, if you do stutter, you're not alone, because you're in it with a group of people. So overall, right, it's a great program to be in.
Awesome. Awesome. So you mentioned the NSA. Do you also attend a local NSA chapter somewhere in your area?
I have a few times. I've attended the DC meetings a couple of times, but getting into DC from where I live is, there's so much traffic that it's just like not possible at times. And then I've been meaning to get to the Rockville, Maryland, chapter meetings, but it never seems to work out with my work schedule. I always get back too late, but I have gone to a few and I'm definitely going to try and get to more of them because, again, it's just a great reminder that you are not alone if you stutter.
Yeah.
And that's such a great feeling. It truly is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you could always start one in your own area.
My friend and I actually thought about that after attending the conference last year. My friend Mike, who's also in the group with me, he lives in Baltimore, Maryland, and there's no NSA local chapter out there.
Oh.
So we were like, we could start a chapter together, but he works full time too, and I have so much on my plate now.
Yeah.
But I could maybe squeeze on one more thing because that would be cool to definitely, you know, start a chapter and interact with more people locally who stutter and introduce them to the lovely community of the NSA. Yeah. So maybe I will do that.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm sure you know now that the NSA annual conference was in D.C. in 2014.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And in Baltimore in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of locals that attended both, mm-hmm. you know, both conferences. So, you know, I'm sure there would be interest and support if there was, you know, a local chapter either in your area or in Baltimore. But so tell me, you said last year was your first conference, so Chicago mm-hmm. was your first time. So what got you there?
People in the group therapy kept talking about the conference, and I looked it up online, and I was just like, if I love the group therapy and it's only a small amount of us there, imagine what it would be like going to an entire conference where there's people who stutter of all ages, all backgrounds. So I was like, that's a really cool opportunity. And so I signed up to go, and I brought my boyfriend with me, who has been a great supporter of it. And he was like, this is amazing. And what has kept me coming back is A, the way it makes me feel. I always feel so inspired afterwards, and I'm like, I want to lead my own workshop. I want to volunteer with them and just do all of these things to help like spread awareness about stuttering. And then also B, the people that I meet are so nice, so wonderful people. It's truly like the best event vacation, whatever it is you want to call it, that I have attended. It's been so much fun. And like I said, I cannot wait to go back in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, sometimes it's a little overwhelming for somebody their first time when they go to one of these conferences because there's so many people mm-hmm. and you kind of don't know what to expect. So, you know, what was it like for you last year as a first timer? I mean, did you feel like you fit right in because you'd met other people in a smaller group, or, you know, like, what did it feel like the first day you walked in there?
It was definitely overwhelming, but in a good way. Luckily, my friend Mike that I mentioned earlier, he came with me too. And then our other friend James, he came as well. So I had a group of people that I knew already. So James had been in the past, so he kind of gave us the lay of the land of everything. So it was still overwhelming because there were so many people there. But once I started meeting people and like hearing them stutter, I just relaxed and I was like, it's fine because this is the best audience I can be surrounded by. And then going to things like the first timers orientation was extremely great, to kind of, you know, learn more about the purpose of the conference and what resources they have available and what workshops you can attend. In fact, I actually wrote a blog post about how I'm prepping for this year's conference because last year, thank you. Last year, I didn't do a lot of research into the workshops that were there. So when I got there, I was like, I want to go to all these, but they're at the same time. Like, what will I do? So looking back, I wish I had planned out my schedule better. This year, I have it jam-packed with activities, events, workshops, meetings, and I cannot wait. So
there is some really good topics on tap, isn't there? Yeah. Oh,
I'm super excited to go to the panel. Oh my God. I'm blanking on the name now, but it's being presented by my therapist, Nick, and then a few of his colleagues about stuttering, and I think it was acceptance or something.
Okay.
Do you know which one? It's a panel presentation. It was about does stuttering and one other topic go together?
Yeah.
Blanking on the name.
Yeah, but there's like two or three panel ones. I thought one of them was like stories of acceptance, like why me or something like that.
I remember, that's one of them that, again, I plan on going to, but I don't think that was the one about, I think it was stuttering and change. Are they compatible? Okay. Does that sound more familiar?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Yeah. So that one, I'm like, I never thought about stuttering and change before. So it's very thought provoking too, which is nice because it's not just about showing your stutter. It's about learning what you can accomplish through being exposed to people in the stuttering community, which is a lot because everyone there is smart, educated, nice people. So it's going to be a good one this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, more so because you'll be there and you're one of those smart, educated, really nice people.
Thank you.
So going back to your blog, could you just tell people who may be interested, what the name of it is, and I'll be sure to share it in the show notes.
Yeah, sure. So it's Ariel Renee. It's my first name and my middle name, but it's spelled AARIELRENEE. You don't actually spell my name with two A's, but because I always stutter when I introduce myself, I put an extra A in the front. So if you read it out loud, it's like Ariel Renee. Which is like you know, the way that I sound a lot when I say my name. So I thought, like, I'm going to put that as my URL.
That's super empowering. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so I did read your blog post. I looked at a couple of yours on stuttering, and I really, really liked how you said you're preparing for this year's conference. And I liked the fact that you've set some goals for yourself. Like you're gonna purposely intend to meet like X number of new people while you're there. And I really liked that because, you know, that's the whole point of going to events like this, whether it be stuttering or, you know, work events like in your field. It's to network and meet people and build relationships. And you only do that when you know, with intent,
exactly,
go up to somebody and introduce yourself and shake your hand and talk to them. So I just thought, like, wow, like, that's really cool that she's like approaching it like that because she's making it like a priority.
And exactly.
I like that. What made you think of doing that?
Well, what you just said, you know, the purpose of the event is to meet people who stutter so you know that you're not alone. And I think everyone who stutters knows that introducing yourself can be one of the scariest things you can do, even if you're talking to a person who also stutters and they know that you stutter. It's still just, you know, scary because to me, first impressions are very important. So the first time that I introduce myself to someone, you know, I want to present myself well. So I always get a little bit nervous about that. And then that also comes to my scariest situation for showing stuttering is when I'm introducing myself to someone who doesn't stutter, who doesn't know anything about it, because there are so many times where I have gotten, like, you know, weird looks or comments like, are you sure that's your name? And I'm like, yes, it is. Thank you very much. But so because of that, I've been trying to make initiating introductions with people something to do on a daily or a weekly basis because it's scary, but I'm tired of being scared of it. It's not fun when you want to meet someone and share an experience with them, but you're so paralyzed you can't even, like, go out there and introduce yourself. And I think even if you don't stutter, a lot of people, at least that I know, do have social anxiety when it comes to introducing themselves to new people. So whether you stutter or not, you know, making a point of initiating that introduction is a big goal, I think, that a lot of us can work on. So
yeah,
I'm gonna make out of it.
you're absolutely right, because small talk for anybody, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you stutter or not, it's like, what are they gonna think of me? Like, did I just say something stupid? Or you know, like, they're all talking about something in the news that I'm not familiar with, or I haven't kept up with. So you're right, it's a skill. It's really, you know, it's a networking and a communication skill that we all need to be successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of in wind down mode, because my gosh, this time has just flown by.
It has.
it always does when, you know, two people who stutter are, you know, just chatting about stuff and, you know, and enjoying each other's company, which I am immensely, just so you know.
Me too. Thank you.
Have you been in contact with any of the people that you met last year at the conference? Have you stayed in touch with anybody, like on Facebook and stuff?
I have, yeah. We friended each other on Facebook, and we follow each other through Instagram, and then I keep up with them, like, through my website too, which is nice. And I think most of them are planning on going back this year, so I'm really excited to meet up with them and see how they've been. Yeah.
Good. And we met through LinkedIn, which I thought was so cool.
Yeah,
because, you know, like, in this day and age of social media, I think people forget that LinkedIn is a professional networking platform, and we, you know, we need to use it. And, you know, that's how people, you know, network professionally. And I think it's cool that both of us, as women who stutter, you know, aren't afraid to mention on our LinkedIn profile that we stutter, you know.
And, exactly.
You know?
I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. So, so what piece of advice would you give to somebody listening who is going to their first conference in less than 2 weeks? Like, what would you advise them to make it, like, maybe a little less scary for them or less nerve-wracking?
If you've never been and you're not going with someone else, you know, I would definitely reach out to people you find on social media and through, you know, the NSA's resources who are going, people will be so receptive to, you know, you reaching out to them. They'll want to welcome you and help mentor you if it's your first time going. And it is so nice going into an event knowing that you have a contact there already. So that is a huge thing. Another thing is, you know, look at the workshop schedule and plan out which ones you want to go to so you don't make the mistake that I did and like miss key ones that you truly wanted to attend. And then lastly, I would say just get ready because it is so much fun and you're going to leave feeling so empowered and so, and you just, you feel like you belong to a very welcoming community, and that's a great, great feeling. So reach out to other people, look up the schedule online, and just know that it will be such a positive experience and it's going to be all well worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's perfect advice. Great advice. And how do you feel now that we've, you know, just, you know, talked about, you know, stuttering online and other people are listening? I mean, how's that feel? Is this your first podcast?
It is. Yeah. I have never done something like this. I've always wanted to. I mean, I've listened to podcasts about stuttering and I've always thought I want to go on one and like talk about it because it seems like it's so much fun, and it truly is. And it's been so great talking to you, and I can't believe that you've been doing this for as long as you have. I mean, that's amazing. And I'm sure that your podcast has reached all kinds of ears and it's served as a great resource for people to learn more about stuttering and to make them feel like they're not alone. So it makes you feel really, really good on the inside.
Oh, good. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to be part of this, because, you know, as women who stutter, we're a minority within the minority. So We need this place, this space where we can talk and share. So thank you so much again for being a guest today. It was just a delight and a pleasure. And I'm looking forward to us meeting up in person and having a drink.
Yeah, me too. And again, thank you for having me on here. It's been so great talking to you. And I will see you in just less than 2 weeks.
Yes, I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm excited. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.